With What's News, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. Some changes in boarding procedures by airlines let you scoot to the head of the line, but you have to pay more for the privilege. More on this in a moment. First, here are some headlines. The Wall Street Journal says the quick development of drones has captivated businesses, promising services like drone-based package delivery, rescue drones, and drone taxi services. For now, though, that commercial promise has been overshadowed at times by incidents like the one this week at the UK's Gatwick Airport. Authorities grounded flights off and on for several days, closing the runway all of Thursday after unauthorized drone operations nearby. Officials said it was a deliberate attempt to disrupt travel. The Gatwick incident is a sobering reminder of the long road ahead to making such drone-based businesses a reality without imperiling commercial flights. One expert says that as useful as drones can be, there has to be a regulatory framework. AAA says that by the time the Christmas break is over, it's expected to be a record-breaking year for holiday travel. More than 112 million people are forecast to travel in the air and on the roads. That's a 4.4% increase over last year's number. It's also the highest number of travelers since AAA started tracking holiday travel in 2001. The vast majority, 102 million, are expected to travel by car. 6.7 million will travel by air. Still ahead, air travel could be more enjoyable for those who take advantage of airlines' boarding changes. The major airlines have been tweaking their boarding procedures as passengers race to store their luggage in overhead bins. Carriers such as Delta Airlines are dividing their passengers into more boarding groups. People in the top-tier boarding groups will board before the main cabin and store their bags in the overhead compartments before everyone else. Of course, these top-tier passengers will pay more for the privilege, which observers say is the real purpose to all this. Allison Sider wrote the story in the Wall Street Journal, and she joins us from Chicago. Well, Allison, how would this work? Give us some examples of what carriers like Delta and United Continental are doing.
Sure. So at Delta, what we're seeing is a move from 6 boarding zones to 8 groups, which sounds like it might get pretty complicated. And what they're trying to do is to try and more closely align, you know, your place in the boarding queue with the type of ticket you bought. So if you bought the most expensive Delta One Suites ticket, you get to board first. You know, if you bought Comfort Plus, which is just a little bit of extra legroom, you get to board in the third group. You get your own group. So the idea is the groups are smaller. They're more closely aligned with the type of ticket you bought instead of being sort of a big zone that would lump together a lot of different passengers.
Well, they've sort of been lining up passengers anyway, according to priority, but this just takes it a step further. And this has been going on for like at least a few months. They're just continuing to streamline the procedure.
Yeah. And what observers and analysts say when they look at this is that airlines are sort of trying to better communicate to passengers what they get when they pay for a more expensive ticket, and in an effort to sort of encourage people to buy those more expensive tickets. So if you're sitting in the gate area and you hear an early group called, you might think, wow, I'd like to get on a little bit earlier, make sure I have a spot for my carry-on bag. Maybe that's something I should look into buying next time. And some analysts have described it as sort of a backdoor way to charge for carry-ons, that most airlines let passengers bring carry-ons for free and will gate check them for free if they don't fit. But a lot of passengers, it's really important to them to have their bag right above them on the plane so they can quickly grab it and get off the plane. So airlines want to make sure that their best customers, you know, that there's room for them in the overhead bins, and for that they have to get on the plane first.
Well, isn't there sort of a conflict between the best paying customers and also frequent flyers? Doesn't this tend to reward, for instance, one-time high paying customers over people who fly frequently?
So that's a concern for some frequent flyers. Some frequent flyers are concerned that they're going to get pushed further back behind passengers who've just purchased, you know, a one-time more expensive ticket. A lot of frequent flyers do get upgraded, but depending on when you book, you might not. So if you might have a pretty high level of status, but end up sitting in coach, and you might end up boarding late in the process under Delta's new system, or at least not as early as you might have been used to. So if you were a business traveler and you've got that carry-on bag, you know, some people are worried about that.
Allison, you write that premium products like these have really been beneficial for the airlines. It's driven most of their revenue.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Delta, premium products now drive 30%, more than 30% of Delta's revenue. And that share has nearly doubled in the last, since 2011. And the share of revenue they're getting from the main cabin from coach is dropping. So airlines have really made a concerted effort to, divide up their cabins into smaller and smaller slices in hopes of getting people to pay just a little bit more for just the next level up. And even airlines like Southwest, which doesn't have cabins in the same way, they don't have a first class, but they also allow passengers to pay more to board earlier. Even though on Southwest bags are free, people still bring carry-ons and they still like to have their pickup seats. Southwest made almost $360 million from their early bird check-in last year. That's how important it is for people to get on the plane early and, how much money airlines can make from giving it to them.
So the groups are smaller. Isn't that part of the point of making this process more streamlined? The more groups there are, the smaller the amount of people in the groups?
Yeah. So airlines, they're not only, they're also trying to make this process easier on everyone. They want boarding to go quickly and efficiently so they can take off on time. So the idea behind the smaller groups is that there'll be less kind of lining up at the gate, people sort of hovering near the door and causing things to get jammed up. They've had some success with this in the past. United is also sort of trying to cut down on just the amount of lining up that's going on. They previously, until September, were sort of boarding with five. They have five groups and there would be a lane for each group. And they found people were just getting in line, an hour early and just waiting there. And it was just leading to a lot of dissatisfaction. So they're sort of making some adjustments just to encourage people to stay seated longer, just to avoid lining up. And they're saying, that's actually helping things go a little more quickly as well.
And aren't the carriers sort of retrofitting older planes to include more bin space?
Yeah, that's a big goal. Carriers are, some of the newer planes come with big bins that airlines say will let everyone bring a carry-on. And they're also retrofitting some of their older aircraft to add bigger bins, just to sort of remove this choke point. There's really nothing worse than when you're boarding a plane and, someone gets all the way to the back and realizes there's no more bin space nest to make their way forward. It can just, it can really slow the process down and it makes everyone pretty annoyed.
Joining us from Chicago, Wall Street Journal reporter Allison Sider. Thanks a lot, Allison.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.